You turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5. Pray for me tonight. Let's pray the Lord just ministers to us. As we go through his word, this is the living word of God. It's not about me tonight. It's about the word that God has already spoken and that he can speak into our hearts again. Let's just pray. Give thanks tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I do praise you, my God, and I glorify your wonderful name. And I thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you've done. And I pray, my Lord, bless Lord tonight. Bring us together, Lord, in love and unity and compassion, Lord. Let us be one, Lord, as you're one. And let your name be glorified, Lord. Let it be lifted and high. Lord, give us ears that will be spiritual, Lord, that they might hear, my God, that we might listen and take in, and that your name will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 5. It says this. It says, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself, that you might be exalted, because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And then I was present with you, and when I was present with you, and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who come from Macedonia supplied, and everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's just pray again. Let's ask. Thank you, Lord. We do praise you, Lord, and we glorify your wonderful name. Bless us, Lord, tonight, and have your way, Lord, here in this place, as we bring glory to you. Amen. So Paul, once again, in these few chapters, Paul has been continuously defending his ministry and his calling, his apostleship. But he does it by explaining here the difference between, and this is good for us as a church, it's good for us as Christians, because Paul does it here by explaining, really showing by his own character, he's explaining the difference between him, a true apostle, and others who claim to be apostles. And the difference is shown in Paul's character, in his lifestyle, in his example. He explains how he lived and about what they're saying and doing, but how he lived. He's talking to brothers and sisters who he knows. So what you've got to be conscious of here is that while Paul has started his church, he's preached the gospel, he started his church, other people have come in, claim to be apostles with some sort of badge or authority, and now they're putting Paul down. And the people ain't listening to Paul as much, or not everybody in the church in 2 Corinthians, but there are some who are not listening to what Paul's saying. They're doubting his genuineness and his heart for him and his ministry. So Paul's going to show them by example, he's going to remind them, "This is how I was, remember when I was with you and I acted like this," about how he lives. Because People may attack God. Remember this. They can't argue against Paul's testimony. People might attack God. People might say that church is no good, God's no good, whatever. But they can't attack a testimony. You know, in your own life, if you have a testimony, if you've lived in a certain way and people can see that, that's one thing they can't argue against. A lifestyle for God. A true Christian. They can't argue against a testimony when they know how you used to be and how you live now. They can't argue against them things. A changed life. So Paul says here, look, for I considered that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Paul says that his life was thoroughly manifested among the Corinthians in all things. It means that they see everything. They see the ups and the downs. They live with Paul. They ate and drank with Paul. They see what type of man he was, who he was privately, who he was in church. Paul worked hard amongst them physically to keep himself, but he also he preached the gospel. He served, he taught, he encouraged, he visited, he'd done the work. But he was saying, look, I lived amongst you. You see what type of man I was. You see me ups and see me downs. You see me character and me motives, because people have been questioning Paul's motives. Oh, he speaks to you with strong words when he writes a letter. But when he comes, he's like a puppy, he don't say nothing to you. They're saying he's a coward, he's weak. He's not the man for the job. But he's saying, look, nothing was hidden from you. Nothing was hidden from you. You see everything that was just laid bare. How I lived, how I spoke, what I've done. You see what type of man I was. And I want to tell you something, that as Christians, a lot of people might think that as a Christian, that there can't be nothing private in your life. And I want to explain something to you, that as Christians, parts of the Christian life that can be private to brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Not everyone wants to share their business with everybody. Home life can be private. Struggles at home, family, problems, different temptations and trolls. These things can be private. And for, especially for me and Charles, and for anyone who's serving, sometimes for the brothers who's in ministry, there's certain parts of our life, I know there's certain parts of me and Vicky's life that are private to us. That even though we serve here and we're here to serve amongst the church, I don't want everybody knowing all my business. Can you understand that? Amen? Because not everyone keeps your business. Not everyone keeps your business. You might tell someone something and they go, listen. And someone might say, I was told not to say nothing, but I just want to tell you. And the only reason I'm sharing with you is because I want you to pray. And that's good. But if I wanted them to pray for me, I'd have told them. I didn't need you to tell them, did I? Do you know what I mean? There should be areas of a Christian's life between that are private. But there's a difference between private and hidden. There is no parts of our life that's hidden. I'm not trying to pull the wool over nobody's eyes. And I only talk by me and Charles here, we're working together. What you see is what you get. We are what we are. There's nothing hidden here. And what I mean by that, there's nothing done in craftiness. We're not keeping secrets and a secret life. Me and Charles ain't got secret families somewhere, or we're having money out the tithe, or we're doing something. There's nothing hidden. There are things that are private. And I want you to know that as Christians, there can be things that are private in your life. Things that are just between you and your Lord and your wife and your husband and your children. And maybe a lot of person who you share with. But here, he was saying, my life has been thoroughly manifested amongst you. I would say by now, 20 years being here, especially those who have been here longer, you would know what type of person me and Charles are. Now that doesn't mean that that should command respect, or people should give me their trust, or I've proven myself, because at any point a man or a woman can fall. But what it does say is that there's nothing hidden. You know us. We're here amongst you. Paul was amongst these people. There was probably things in his life that was private, things that he was struggling with, things that he spoke to the Lord about. But he was saying there was nothing that was hidden. And there is a problem when people have things in their life that are hidden. And I tell you what that usually comes down to, hidden sin. Because that's the reason you want to keep it secret. And I've seen ministers and deacons and trainees and their husbands and their wives and people in the congregation, because we're all Christians, aren't we? Forget about badges. We're all Christians. And when people hide sin, all it does is eat away and destroys the foundation that the Lord has already played. When people keep secret sin, and I'm not saying you've got to come forward and go, listen, I want to tell you something. You don't have to get up behind this pulpit and put a post on Facebook and confess and hang all your dirty laundry out. But if there is someone that you trust, whether it be a minister or another brother and sister, and there's something going on in your life that you know is wrong, maybe you need prayer for that. You need to repent of that. Because I tell you this, there can be things in your life that are private. There's not a problem with private things. But when the sin is hidden, it destroys. Sin destroys when it's hidden. Nothing was hidden from the Corinthians. Paul said, you know what sort of man I am. You know how I've been amongst you, what I've done, what I've said, how I've lived. Take that as an example. Don't listen to what the people's telling you. Take what you know. We, as a leadership here, me and Charles, if you know, we don't agree with hiding things from the church. In fact, things have come out in the church, and we've got up and spoke about them openly from the pulpit and said, look, this is what's going on. This is what we've had to do. This is how we've dealt with it. We don't expect everyone to be happy about it, but we felt like this was best. This is the best way to deal with it. This was scriptural. And not everyone's happy, and it's not good for us. It hurts. It's hard. But I don't believe in keeping things hidden. I don't think it helps all the time. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In verse 7 it says, did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them. That word there for wages, don't mean, it's not a word that means he was working and receiving a wage, like if you're working for, and doing a job and you get a wage each month for doing a certain thing. What it meant is that it meant the type of money that was given to provide for needs. Paul was happy, he wasn't interested in bettering himself or earning a profit from anybody. But he robbed the other churches. The other churches kept him and paid his bills and kept him and provided for him that he might live and eat and drink. And he's bald, so he can carry on doing the work of God. And I think that's a lovely thing. I think that, please God, if we get the opportunity one day, I remember in Dartford Church on a Wednesday night, for years they used to collect on a Wednesday night, and the Wednesday offering was always set aside for missionary work, for works abroad, like the orphanage that we used to support in Romania, the work in India, work in other countries. That money would be collected on the month, and it might be a little bit of money, but it used to build up, and they used to send that, and they used to do work. And it used to provide for people's needs while they were serving the Lord, or buy things for the home, or clothes for the children. I remember my Katie done it. It was a good thing. And that's what's happening with Paul here. He said, the church is taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. So he said, there was times I was on Skid Row, but I still never asked you for anything. I didn't want you to provide for me. I let the other churches, the older Christians, those who could take the burden, come and provide for me so I could carry on serving you. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied in everything. I kept myself from being burdensome to you, and so I will also keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows, he says. Paul is saying, I never come as a movie star. I never come. There's probably what's going on here is these other men are expecting financial gain. We're coming teaching and preaching here. You should give us. We want to be paid to do what we're doing. And he's saying, when I was with you, even when I was in need, I never took nothing from you. I served humbly. I worked. In fact, when I was in need, the other churches come and provided for me because I didn't want to be a burden to you. He was trying to be a testimony. He took money from the other churches to provide for his needs while he was serving the Lord, while he was preaching and teaching. When he was in need, he never took anything from them. Paul made sure not to take anything from the Corinthian church financially, as he probably knew it would hinder them and hinder the work of the Lord and hinder the people who he was working amongst. And I'll tell you what I mean. He took from the older Christians, those who was more mature in the things of God, the other churches that was more established. At that point, probably through discernment, Paul probably knew, if I take anything from these people, they're going to go, these other men are going to come in and go, see, we told you he was after the money. Told you. It wouldn't have suited God's work or suited the agenda at the time, God's service, to take the money from them. Not saying it was wrong. Paul said in other places, he said, I was entitled to be looked after because I served amongst you as well. But he was saying, I never took money from you, I took from others. He knew it would hinder the work of the Lord amongst the people. Let me tell you something. Younger Christians are a blessing to be around. If you ever get the chance on the convention, or someone gets saved in church, younger Christians, and you're on the convention, you see the younger believers, they're coming in, they're in every meeting, they're praising and worshiping the Lord, they've got all the questions for you, they want to come and ask you Bible questions, they're full of the Lord, they're thirsty for the things of God. But as easily as they are filled, as easily as they are encouraged, young Christians, they're easily knocked down as well. Because they take notice of things that older Christians wouldn't do. And I tell you what I mean, they go, didn't think they was like that. Why aren't they living with me 24 hours a day, spending every moment of their life with me? They're ministers, they're older Christians. They should answer every question I got. I should have a phone line direct to that Christian. He's been saved 30 years. They should answer all my questions and not refuse me at all. As easy as they are encouraged, things can happen in churches and younger Christians see it and it can knock them down. Paul, through wisdom here, was saying, I never took money from you. And it was right not to. Maybe they was younger than the other churches, but he knew at that point it would only give more fuel to the fire for people to come in and point the finger. And I want to tell you something, for all Christians in here, get around young Christians and encourage them. Spend your time with young Christians and build them up. Pull them up the ladder. You're up further than them. Pull them up. But be very careful with your testimony, with the things you say and the things you do. Because young Christians are very easily influenced. And you can knock their plug in very, very easily. They can be affected by something that you would take notice of or someone else wouldn't take notice of. Keep your guard up. Not that they're trying to do your harm, but know that young Christians are like babes. They can be hurt very, very easily. Beware of so-called preachers and teachers who only want to take from the sheep. These other men who come, he said, I never took nothing from you. All they was doing was demanding. Beware of preachers and teachers who only want to take from the sheep. Their service in ministry is because of power or popularity or finances or authority. They're unapproachable. They can't be challenged. They don't preach the word. They preach ideas. How does the Bible tell that we will know somebody? How will you tell someone's a Christian? How will you tell someone's got the Spirit of God in them? That they're from the Lord? You were known by what? They're from. That's basically what Paul's saying here. Weigh up the two things he's saying. Look how I was when I was there. And look at these men, how they are. But he said, then you'll suffer. Last week he said, then you'll suffer. Then you'll listen to. He says in verse 12, but what I do, I will continue to do. That I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things with which we boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Paul is saying, I'm going to carry on living humble. I'm going to carry on serving freely. Because back then, public speakers and people who preached in temples and things like that. They expected and could be, and it's quite common to be paid for public speaking. Paul's saying, I never got paid, I never took money from you. In fact, I'm going to continue not to take money from you. I'm going to continue to be humble. I'm going to continue to serve in the way that I've always served. For what reason? I'm going to sacrifice and live the life of a Christian. And one of the reasons he's saying he will do that is so that the Corinthian church will be able to see the difference between him, between the true apostles and the false ones. I'm going to give you a measuring stick. And Paul said, I'm not going to stop boasting. I'm going to be bold in this. And thank God, because I couldn't do that, but Paul can do that. Paul could be boastful in them things, in the way he lived and how he was. Paul could be boastful. He said, I'm going to carry on living this way, so that you might know the difference between the two. So I don't give an opportunity of them to boast, because when they do boast, they say, we're apostles. You say, well, this is what we measure you by. We measure you by Paul. Paul was an apostle. In fact, if you don't live the same way he lives, then you're not an apostle. Paul was given him a measuring rod. So know the difference between true and false apostles. And let me tell you something. We live in a world today, and I'm not saying, look, I'm not trying to say anything like I'm the best testimony in the world, Charles the best testimony in the world, or we're the best mission in the world, or we're the best this, or anything like that. But what I'm trying to say is that you can tell by how people live. And that doesn't mean that because I claim to live as a Christian and I try and serve the Lord as best I can, any of these things, that should demand any respect or anything from anyone. Because I'm just trying to serve the Lord like everybody is. But Paul is laying out here and saying, look at somebody's life. Look how they speak and act. See what they ask you for. See that they ask you for everything and I ask you for nothing. But yet you're more inclined to listen to them. And how sad it is, and I've seen this in the Christian walk, I've been saved 25 years, when good men and women follow the biggest, on the television or online or on the internet, on the YouTube, the biggest cranks God ever put breath into. The biggest cranks and nutters. I remember a very good sister, a woman who loved the Lord, but she was obsessed with Benny Hinn. Obsessed with Benny Hinn. Man's going around dashing people up the floor with his jacket and blowing on people and knocking people. And a lot of people, the reason why they give, he's a godly man. They go, look at the thousands of people who come and listen to him. But thousands of people listen to Hitler. He wasn't a good man, was he? You know what I mean? Because you can gather a crowd, it don't make you a good person. And what a shame is when brother and sister, when they have the opportunity to listen to solid, sound teaching, whether it be from our mission or from other missions. I support other ministries as well, and I enjoy their teaching. I'm encouraged by them. There are good men out there serving the Lord, preaching and teaching, leading churches, and you can go online, you can watch them, you can listen to their teaching. And I know we all have our favourite preachers. I've got people I listen to, Charles got people he listens to. But what a shame it is when we go after the itchy ear stuff, when we listen to people who are just nutters, fleecing the sheep, cranks, spiritual cranks, and we're excited by the things they say. Brothers and sisters, there's got to be a problem there, isn't there? There's got to be a problem there. Some men use ministry for gain. Some men use ministry for gain. You've only got to turn on the Sky television and look at these people and see the money that's raised and what do they spend it on. That does me when they come on and they say, I've got a healing ministry. What are you doing here then? Surely you should be in an hospital somewhere, shouldn't you? If you can do it at will and command it, what are you doing on a stage asking for money? Surely you'd be in Great Ormond Street, wouldn't you? King's College somewhere. Some big hospital somewhere. Emptying out. There wouldn't be no need for doctors, would they? If you're going to listen to someone, at least look at their life and how they live. Do they practice what they preach? Are they men of the Spirit? Are they godly people? And then Paul calls them right out. He calls them exactly for what they are. He said, and know what, I'll read verse 13 again. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. He's saying they're snides. They look the real deal, but they're not. And no wonder, For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Have you ever seen these false religions and they say, oh, an angel, how do you know that's real? Oh, an angel came to me and told me. Paul said to the Galatian church, he said, even if I or an angel would come to you and give you a different gospel than the one you received in the beginning, I tell you, do not believe it. All these, Joseph Smith, they've all got further revelations. The Mormon church, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, they all got a better teaching, a further revelation. It's rubbish. So many people are deceived by it. Paul doesn't hold back here. He says these people are from Satan. They do the work of the enemy. And here he gives us a little window into like spiritual warfare and the things that we might face. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work. Are we immune from them things? A light and life immune. I remember Jacob Prash saying years ago, he said, do you know why, he said, the travellers' churches, the gypsy churches, don't suffer with the same scams and cons and rubbish like the gorgeous churches do. Right? Like the gorgeous churches do. When they got the false teachings and the Toronto blessings and the money preachers asking for money. He said, because by nature, you people are con people. You're conners. And you can't con a conner. He said, by nature, you can spot, a man's only got to be talking to you and telling you the same, isn't you? And what I mean by that is, if a traveller looks at you and says, I take oath, that's the truth. Straight away, you know they're lying, didn't you? Oh, my baby's this one thing and another. As soon as they say that, they're lying about whatever they're saying. Because you can just tell when someone's lying to you. Because we've been liars. We've been liars. But here he's saying, we think we're clever. We think these things are never going to happen to us. We think we might not ever be deceived. I know enough now, Lord. I know the word enough. I've seen enough rubbish. I know enough now. And this is what I've said to myself. I won't be deceived. But we're dealing with a real enemy. A deceitful enemy. And he says that if he can transform himself into an angel of light, how much more so can he have ministers? So Satan has ministers. And what do they show themselves as? Big devil worshippers and witches. Sometimes. But he says, ministers of righteousness they transform themselves into. We must remember, first of all, that none of us are beyond being deceived. By who? By false people who are saying they're in ministry. False brothers and sisters. What? What, people claim to be Christians can deceive you? Yep. People claim to be Christians. And I want to tell you something. And this is a true saying. Not everybody who speaks kind words to you is your friend. And not everybody who tells you off is your enemy. Do you understand that? Not everyone who says something kind to you is your friend. And not everyone who tells you off is your enemy. Because let me tell you something. Crafty people use kind words sometimes called flattery. I think that's the word, isn't it? Flattery? Is that the right word? Yeah. No one's ever said flattering words to me, but I should imagine it does happen. Do you know what I mean? They use flattery. And let me tell you something. You know your best friend in the world will call you out on something, say you're wrong. Not everyone who says kind words to you is your friend, and not everyone who tells you off is your enemy. Paul warned the Ephesian elders, the Ephesian church in Acts 20, I'm just going to read it. He says, and this, look for the two groups of people that he's talking about. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So he's saying, look after the people, because they're God's, but God's left them to you, look after until he returns. For I know this, that after my departure, so he's leaving them, savage wolves will come in from among you. So there are wolves that come in from outside the church that come in. And they try to eat and chop the sheep up. Yeah? And they're not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will raise up, speaking perverse things, and draw away disciples after themselves. So there's ones from the outside coming in, but also the ones from in, from inside. Therefore, what you remember, for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. We have been taught to keep our guard up, where, especially amongst our culture, we're suspicious of anyone outside of our own group, and we, our own family, our own group. And even in our churches, we've been taught and said, oh, they teach this and they teach that. And we're automatically suspicious concerning people outside the congregation, teachers and preachers. I'm always, when I'm listening to someone, I think, I've never listened to this man before. I'm going to listen carefully, see what he's about. But Paul said, people will be raised up from among the church, from inside. We drop our guard with our brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you this now. Our churches are not full, but in Light and Life, and I can only speak of our own self, there are probably people in every Light and Life church that come to church and praise the Lord and clap their hands and say hallelujah, and they're never going to make heaven. They're not saved. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. They're not born again. They haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone is going to do you good. And I'll tell you what I mean. Beware when you're trying to live righteously and others in the church can encourage you to sin. They say, yeah, ah, that's all right, there's no harm. You're trying to live for the Lord, you're trying to serve God, and you might be struggling and failing every day. This ain't about strong Christians and weak Christians. This is about people who claim to be Christians coming in and making you live less for Jesus than what you should. Ah, that's all right. Dick, the preacher's children do it. The preachers do it. I heard there was a preacher up the so-and-so, they do it. Who cares what... Can you imagine saying that to your mother and father? Did you ever say that to your mother and father? So-and-so's going. They're allowed to go. You know what my father and mother have said to me? So-and-so's not my children. They don't belong to me. I can't go by what so-and-so does. When you're trying to live righteously, beware of people who claim to be Christians or people who are drowning their self, they're struggling, and they pull you down with them. Beware of so-called brothers and sisters who are always tearing down the church. They're tearing down the church and the people in it and the leadership. You know the Bible says in Timothy, Paul says, do not receive an accusation against an elder unless by two or three witnesses. Do not receive an accusation against an elder unless by two or three witnesses. Brothers and sisters, I will say this. I do think, look, I know, I understand my part to play here very, very well. I'm a pastor, one of the pastors here, and a minister, and I thank God for the calling that God's put upon my life. And I'm happy here in Church Sutton. God has given me a place to serve, and giving me something that my heart rejoices in. I love the people here. And my job is to lead, feed and protect. So if you know me, and you know that I will call things out and say, don't, no, they ain't no good, they ain't no good, don't do that, because that's what I feel that God has leading me to do. But I would ask the same of you as well. When people come in and pull your brothers and sisters down, when people come in, they pull the eldership down, they pull the church down, they're always finding fault. And you think, well, I don't want to say anything because I don't upset. Don't worry about upsetting the people. Tell them. Say, I don't believe you. I'm not receiving it. I'm not going to accept that. Or if so, if that's right, know what the Bible says? Go to your brother and sister and put them right. If you say, if you know that to be true, why are you telling me? Why don't you go to that person and tell them and put them right? That they might repent of that. Why tell the whole church about it? When I tell the person who's doing the wrong, I'm helping a brother or sister. And I'm not only going to tell them. You can't just tell a man or a woman where their faults are without helping them. When you tell someone what's going on in their life and where they're sinning, where they're going wrong, step into that gap and help them. Be better for the Lord. But if I tell that person, I'm helping them. If I tell everybody else in the church, I'm just gossiping. That's just gossip. Beware of people who are never satisfied. Nothing's ever done good enough for them. And beware of this. If I was the pastor, I'd do things like this. are doing the work of Absalom. Absalom was David's son, and he stood at the gate of the city while David was in the castle, in his fortress, and he stood at the gates of the city, and everyone who come in, he said, he whispered in their ear, "If I listen, what's going on? This is happening. We're being killed. This is going on. My life, I need help." They'd come to the king for help, and he'd say, "Listen, don't go asking David. He's not interested. But if I was king, I'd do things like this. I'd do things like that." And he turned the whole people, whole of Israel, he turned against, well, not all of it, but majority, he turned them against. Why? Because they listened to that. I've seen brothers and sisters listen to rubbish. And they go, I don't believe it. And then they start missing meetings. Then they don't come no more. "Oh, I didn't believe what I heard." But yeah, but what happens when you drink from a poison well? You end up sick, don't you? Keep listening to the rubbish all the time. And we think that, brothers and sisters, I want us to be mature as Christians. Not everyone who claims to be a preacher is one. Not everyone who claims to be a Christian is one. And we have to be careful. And I tell you what, I think this is, I want to focus on, just as a warning to this church, because we very rarely get to speak about it, because it seems like something that's not real or can't be true, to say that there's people in the church who claim to be Christians and they're not. In fact, they're ministers of unrighteousness. They're false people. They're doing the work of the enemy. And I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen people come into churches, say a prayer, all the Christians get round them, praise the Lord, because they want to encourage them. And then they start talking to, getting older people and talking to them, and filling their hearts with rubbish and false desires and a false God, and the world is better and there's better treasures to be had in the world. And then they leave and they take four or five people with them, because they've put that desire in that person's heart. Look, it's better over here. And they get people looking elsewhere. And we might think that might not happen to us, but it does happen. It happens in our churches. And I'm not saying we should be horrible to anyone, or we should judge anyone, or, but what we got to be, this is talking, we should be wise. The Bible says, test every spirit. I want encouragers to know that there are false people and false teachers and false preachers. And how you know them is by their fruit. Be careful of what you listen to and what you take in and who you fellowship. Because if they're not lifting Jesus up and lifting you up, they're only pulling you down, then maybe you should cut them out. Maybe just say, "I'm not strong enough to be around that person. I'm not going to listen to that because they're teaching me things that ain't right." Paul wanted to teach the Corinthian church the difference between false and true apostles. And thank the Lord Jesus, he had a testimony in such a way that he could do it just by how he lived. You'll know. You'll know who the right people are and ain't the wrong people. Follow who's right. Listen to who's right. Take in from who's right. Because they've only got your best intentions at heart. Amen. Let's pray.